Hey church, we want to welcome you to another inspirational message from Manukau New Life. We hope you enjoy and have a great day. Be blessed.
We're going to talk about sin this morning. My message is called The Sin of the World. The Sin of the World. Nudge the person next to you and go, this one's for you. This one's for you. I sinned while I was in Queenstown. I sinned. I missed the mark. I was on the luge. Anybody been on the luge? And you go down the luge, and it's that go-kart thing. So you get to the bottom there. It goes into like, I think it's about three or four lanes, and these very narrow lanes. And it says, slow down, slow down, slow down. So the first two or three times, I slowed down. But then I thought, I reckon you could take those lanes pretty quick, you know? And I've got a bandage on my finger and a cut down here. Because if you don't take the lane slowly, if you take them full throttle, which is what I thought I might try, what happens is you hit those rails. It's sort of designed as you go around the corner to literally tip you out and give you a flip. So the go-kart went out and I flipped and I did a sort of smash my arm and a bit of blood coming out. And, you know, you come to the thing, the lady goes, are you all right? I'm fine, I'm fine. And, you know, when you've tipped out on the lane and you might have been dead, but your wife drives past you laughing. Ha ha ha. Anybody had that experience? Know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So I missed the mark. I missed the mark. Maybe, you know, you're a bit like me. Maybe you go a bit, you pushed things a bit too hard. You know, well, today is a day where we want to reflect on our hearts, all jokes aside. We want to actually look at our own hearts and lives, and we want to examine ourselves to see how we're doing in the faith. This is not a message for the person behind you, beside you, or in front of you who really needs to hear this. This is for you, and this is for me. And I say that because, like me on the go-kart, you and I, we like to be a little bit too competitive sometimes, and we like to find somebody else to point the finger at. But this is good for you and I to just examine our own hearts. On this day, in 2020, the Hebrew people celebrate Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, is a ancient feast, time that they would come together. And for 24 hours from Friday night or the night before till Saturday night till tonight, they would fast. They wouldn't eat any food. And there's nothing like fasting to bring out a little bit of your own attitudes, is there? Anybody tried to fast and found like a little bit of grumpiness comes out, a little bit of other stuff in the flesh starts to surface. And so in that fasting, they were to deny themselves pleasures, they were to deny themselves food, they were to deny themselves all the good things in life, and they were to come for an entire day and as a nation. And it was pretty serious. You had to be there. If you didn't come to this day, the Bible says you were cut off from the nation. So aren't you glad you made it to church this morning, yeah? Glad you're watching online, yeah? That you didn't think, oh, you know, skip it, you know? Like, you know, you had to do this. Everyone had to do this. And it was, God said, I want this done every year on this specific day. And you had to come there, and Aaron the high priest, or whoever was the succeeding high priest, would come out, and he would offer a sacrifice for him and his family. Because it starts with you and your family. Before we start trying to fix the nation, it starts with you and me, right? He'd offer the sacrifice for him and his family, and then he would bring out these two goats. Well, these two goats would be brought out, and they would be chosen. One of the goats would be offered as a sacrifice for the nation's sins, and the other goat, you can imagine the kids watching this, as the high priest would put his hands on the goat's head, and he would begin to confess the sins of the nation over the goat. And he would say, God, this year we've been rebellious. God, this year we have lied, we have cheated, we've been immoral, we've worshipped idols. We have done so many things that are wrong, and we've been rebellious to our parents. And he would confess the sins of the nation over this goat. And this goat was called the scapegoat. You ever heard that saying, the scapegoat? Well, this goat, what would happen is that all of the sins, that'd take a while, right? For all the sins of the nation to be put upon this goat, and then it would be led into the wilderness to be carried away as symbolic that the sins of the people for that year had been carried away, the scapegoat. And then the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat and he would make atonement for the people's sins and forgiveness would be granted to them, the covering of their sins. It's a very special day and it falls on today, Sunday the 27th of September. And as I mentioned on the video feed we did, that all around the world over this weekend, believers have been gathering together and actually doing this, actually doing, God, examine my heart. Examine my heart. And repenting of their sin. And the word repentance encapsulates in it this other word, return. As we heard in the song, returning my heart to God. Saying, God, if there's been something in my heart, something in my life, I want to bring it back to you. I want to return to you. Are you with me in Romans chapter 1 today? Because in Romans chapter 1, we read about this. We read about this process, this sin that's come into the world. Over this month, coming month, I want to encourage us to read through at least the first 8 chapters of Romans. And so I'm going to preach today from Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. And over this week, can I really encourage you to read Romans chapter 1 and 2? It's not, you know, it's quite a theological book. So you got to really get into it. But it's actually a story. It's a unique book because Paul's never been to Rome. And he's writing to this church he's never visited. So he's not writing about some issues in their church, like he is in many of the other letters. He's actually laying out his foundational theology so that they can understand. So this would have been how the Apostle Paul would have shared with each church he came to, and we get that captured in the book of Romans. And so we see the story in the book of Romans in chapter 1 and 2. We read about the fall. We read about the sin. It's a retelling of Genesis chapter 1, like John chapter 1. As so many of the books in the Bible retell the story of the fall. And then from the fall, it goes through into Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, and then finally to Romans 8, where we are walking in the power of the Spirit of God. And so this is the part about sin. This is the part about the fall. And we need to reflect on that today and reflect on our own hearts. I've called this first point here, it's a mess out there. It's a mess. Chapter 1 begins with some verses that paint the picture of this mess. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but just pick it up in verse 21. It says this, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." The beginning of the fall, the beginning of sin starts right here in verse 21. It starts when we stop worshiping. When we stop glorifying God, when we stop giving him all the honor and all the praise, when we stop thanking him, and our own foolish hearts become puffed up with pride, with thinking that we are something, that we are great, that we are mighty. When we do that, then foolishness and the mess begins to invade our hearts, which is why it's vitally important that you and I are passionate worshipers. When you stop worshiping God, when you let your worship start to decline, that's when the trouble starts to arise. That's when sin starts to creep into our hearts. And if we are to return to the Lord, the message I think a couple of weeks ago, Steve McCracken preached, the first thing he said is, return to our first love, right? Return to our first love, our passion and our love for God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. When you get that first, everything else works. But if you start to let that drop from first priority to second, third, fourth, then what happens is that foolishness and darkness begins to invade our lives. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings, birds, animals, and reptiles. We are made to worship. I don't know if you realize that, but we are made to worship. So if you don't worship God, you start to worship something else. Here they begin to worship human beings. If you don't worship God, you start to worship yourself. You'll become wrapped up in your own glory and your own priority. And it all becomes about you. It becomes about selfishness. Or we start worshiping an animal or a reptile or something else or a car or a phone or anything else, clothes. We start worshiping these things, giving our lives to these things. Instead of worshiping God, they worship themselves. That's humanism. Now watch what happens when we begin to worship something else apart from God. This is the fall. Verse 26 says this, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their woman exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with woman and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, and no mercy. The picture painted here is of a painful, fallen, broken, sinful world. Gossip, slander, greed, immorality. It's quite a list. But sometimes we need to see it like this in black and white, right? Sometimes we need to look at that. And we read through this list, we think, yes, murder, bad, bad. That's not good, you know? Immorality, very bad. Gossip. Is gossip on that list? Ooh. Disobedient to parents. Ooh. No love. Lack of mercy. And there's a couple of things on there that we think, oops, oh, that one might be in my life. Not the bad ones, though. Surely this isn't about me, Mark. Surely it's not about me, right? It's not about you and I, mate. You know, this is about they out there, the mess out there in the world, the bad people out there. It's got to be about them, right? I'm not a bad person, surely. Surely. Well, let's go on to chapter 2, because I like the way chapter 2 starts. It becomes a little bit more uncomfortable. I've called this point, it's a mess in here. Paul continues his letter and he says this, you therefore, whoops, he's talking to us now. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself. Ouch. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. Wow. Ouch. He's actually saying, whenever you're pointing the finger at somebody else, the finger's pointing back at you because you're part of this fallen human race. Ouch. That's a little bit uncomfortable. I thought this was about the mess out there, but Paul says, let's bring it in here. There's a mess that's going on inside of your heart as well. There's sin. And on this day, let's, as I've said before, and I'll say again, resist the temptation to think about the person behind you or beside you or the guy three seats over that really should be listening to this message. And let's examine our own hearts. Let's look inside our own hearts and go, well, what's going on inside of me? So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? You think you're going to get away? Because you're not the murderer. You just did the gossiping. You didn't do the immorality. You just slandered somebody. You didn't hate God. You just disrespected your parents. Do you think Paul says you're going to get away? That you're somehow off the hook? He takes the time in chapter 2 to really break it down. He talks about judgment pointing the finger back at you. He talks about the law, making sure we understand that we've broken the law. He talks about our conscience, how our conscience points the finger back at us. And the point of all of this is that we might come to the point where we acknowledge our sin, we recognize our sin, that like me on the luge, we realize I ignored what the warning sign said. I disobeyed the rules. The Bible said, don't go there, don't do that. But we were like, nah, you know what? I reckon I can do this. I reckon I'll get away with it. And we suffered the consequences. But more than that, let me read you verse 4 of chapter 2, because this is where it should bring us to. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? This is where it brings us to. This is where he wants us to come to a point where we recognize that our selfishness, that our doing it my way and not God's way has brought us to this mess, so that we repent and so that we return to the Lord. I had to go over to a meeting on Monday with a bunch of senior leaders in the church and politicians meeting together. I had to go over to the North Shore. And so I went across the Harbour Bridge. That's an experience these days. I can tell you that. There's only two lanes either way, and there's traffic queued up for miles. And so I was at this meeting, and I was just, you know, just listening to the speakers, and there was a moment there where I was just listening, and I felt God say something to me. I felt him talk to me about the Harbour Bridge. And I had read, I think, a couple of days earlier about what had happened. They said that the wind was gusting at 60 kilometers an hour, and then all of a sudden, for about 30 seconds, the wind went up to 127 kilometers an hour. And this truck happened to be just there at that point and blew over and hit this bar on the bridge, and half of Auckland is locked down, gridlocked in traffic. We were all locked down, but we're gridlocked now in traffic. And I was reminded at that point of the power of God. The power of God. 30 seconds. All it would take for God to go, and we're stuffed. You know what I'm talking about? Now, it wasn't that God was reminding me that, you know, was telling me about his judgment on our city. It was that he was actually telling me about the power that he has to bring deliverance to a city. If a puff of wind can bring half a city to a standstill, imagine what the power of God could do to bring a city to salvation. If we were open to that, imagine what his power could do in my life, in your life, if we would allow him to bring his power to work inside of us. We live in this, so what was in my mind at this time was just the mess that's in the world, the rebellion, the sin, the shame, the guilt, the pain, the hurt, the brokenness that's in this life right now. I look at it, I look at me, and I look at my own depravity, I look at my own sin, I look at my own shame, I look at my pride, and I think, God, we are such a broken, messed up people. And he reminded me of that verse where John the Baptist saw Jesus coming down to the water, and he shouts out, behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I don't know if you can grasp that. I don't know if you can imagine just your own filthy sin, let alone the sin of every other human being. The immorality, the idolatry, the hatred, the everything in the world. Here's the Lamb of God who can take it all away. Come on. That's worth getting a little bit excited about. And that's what God was saying to me. You know, do you think my power is too short to remove that sin? Do you think that I'm not able to lift that off your city, to lift that off your life, to lift that off your nation? He's powerful, church. He's able to set the captives free. He's able to bring cleansing. He says in Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Your sins may be scarlet, but I'll make them white as snow. Come on. He is able, only the Lamb of God, and take away my sin. I every time I think about that, I'm overcome with gratitude. I'm overcome with gratefulness that Jesus, you could make me whole, that you could make me clean, and I don't have to live on shame and guilt, that when I stuff up, that when I make mistakes, that when I in my own rebellious pride think I can run in my lane and mess my life up, but you know, it's I make a hash of it, but it's like, wow, you want to return me back to you? You love me that much? You have that much grace and mercy for me? I'm overcome. I'm overcome. I'm undone when I think about that. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John could see it. John was preaching, repent, 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 turn from your wicked ways. He could see the sin in his society. He saw the Lamb of God coming who was going to clean things up, take it away, remove it. Can I read you this list one more time? And can I encourage you as I do this to do something incredibly courageous this morning? Stop thinking of all your friends who need to hear this. And as others have done these things, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. I get it. It's incredibly difficult to let God speak to me when he really should be talking to the one sitting next to me. But when we do that, when we're courageous enough to open our hearts, we find repentance that leads to forgiveness and freedom. Would you close your eyes with me? I just want to read some of these words the Apostle Paul lists down here. Let the Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Welcome you into the lounge of the person who's watching online. Come and speak to our hearts as we just read through your word one more time. This is the contemporary version, says they are evil. It's wickedness, greed, greedy, always wanting, mean, just mean-spirited, always wanting what others have, murder, arguing, cheating, hard to get along with, gossip, saying cruel things about others, hating God, proud, conceited, boastful, always thinking up new ways to do evil, not respecting parents, stupid, unreliable, not having love or pity for others. They know God has said that anyone who acts this way deserves to die. They keep on doing evil things, and they even encourage others to do them.